And here we go. I want to say hey to everybody out in Periscope land. We're sorry you couldn't be here with us this morning. And it's good to see everybody. And you look real good. I haven't seen you since the new year. So happy new year to you guys and hope you're doing good. How many have broken their resolutions already? Anybody? All right. Before we get going, I do want to do just a couple quick things. I really want to encourage you next week, January 15th, to come on out to see Pastor Tim Johnson. This guy is a powerhouse in the Lord, won a Super Bowl, won a national championship with Penn State, but is even doing greater things for the kingdom of God. So I really want you guys to come on out. If you have any of your people in your sphere of influence that don't know Jesus, this is a great time to invite them to church just to meet a cool dude who's won a few Super Bowls and that kind of thing, and he'll come on out. Speaking of Super Bowls, I want to say hey to Doug Middleton here with the Jets. It was his first year with the Jets. He's heading home. I heard this is our last Sunday for a little while, bro. But just know that this church, we are praying for you and that you're going to have an impact for the kingdom of God. And so we appreciate you. And by the way, guys, as we're in the season of prayer and fasting, you know that God has given us the stewardship of the New York Jets. And so there's always so much turnover each and every season. So I ask that you'd be in prayer that God would be strategically adding people to the New York Jets team that we can really make an impact for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. And so that's that. And then lastly, I got to say hey to my buddy Aaron in the back. So Aaron, man, I did. How many of you guys winced when you're like, we have tickets for the devil? And I'm like, what? Well, you know, it's so. But we do. So for the devil's game, it's actually versus the LA Kings, which is kind of cool. That's a good game. I thought for Faith and Family they'd give us a junky game, but it's a great game. So come on out for that. Go see Aaron. Aaron in the back there. So how many know, we're kind of like 2 weeks into the new year, and I can just remember the first Monday after the New Year's, and the gym was absolutely slammed, all right? Right, everyone, this is going to be the year, six-pack abs, you're going to make it happen. And it's always kind of comical to me because people that go in there, you could tell they don't really know what they're doing. And so I was on the treadmill, true story, I'm on the treadmill, and one guy, you could tell he's trying to do the thing, so I'm like, doo, doo, doo. Here, buddy, I'll get you going, get some going, and it's funny, he's in the gym, he's running, you could tell he's getting tired, so my brother takes his shirt off to reveal an inordinate amount of hair all over his body, and he's still running. I'm like, oh my gosh, he didn't just do that, right? And so the manager had to come over, bro, no, we're not doing that, put the shirt back on, and so he did that, and then I promise you, this happened earlier, too, is there was a guy, an older gentleman, and he's on the treadmill, and you could tell he's really glad he's having at it. This is his year, and he's trying to watch the TV, and you could tell he's not used to doing that stuff before. And so as he's going, he misses the tread, and he falls down. But before he does, he has the wherewithal, and he hangs on to the rail of the treadmill. But as he does, you can smell the flesh burning off his shins as it's going around, and we're like, oh my gosh. And here's what he does, is God is my witness, he lets go of one hand like this, and then he switches hands like that, and so he's doing it, and everyone's yelling, bro, just let go. And so finally he lets go, and then he tries to play it cool like that never happened, that type of thing. And so it's pretty funny. But so New Year's, there's all this kind of hope as we enter in, and it's kind of a time where we can hit reset. And did you guys watch some of those kind of New Year's programs, and they go through somewhat of a Rolodex of the people we lost in 2016? Like we lost Prince and Princess Leia, right? George Michael, Gene Wilder. And I don't know if you're like me, but there's some people I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot they died. Oh yeah, I forgot that individual. And here's the thing that should really make us step back and evaluate our life. See, I think if the world, people outside these four walls, if they would see those people and they go, that is an unbelievably successful person, and they died, and we forgot them in what, 2 weeks, a month? And so here's my challenge. That should really make us go, you know what? And listen, I pray you're successful. Doug, I pray you're Pro Bowl player, man, successful. But at the end of the day, we should be aiming at significance, not just success. And see, significance are the lives that'll matter, and it lasts throughout not just time, but eternity, the things we do for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. And so we want to be a significant people. And I believe God's called every nation in New Jersey to be a significant church, to make an impact. So our, and I think we have it, Izzy, our vision statement, who we envision ourselves to be, is this, is that we want to change the world or transform the world one life at a time. And so we adamantly believe that as God transforms your life and wherever he's placed you, you become an agent of transformation where God's placed you. And so here's my question for us today is this. Do you have a vision for your life? Like, do you know what God's created you to do and who he's created you to be? So I can remember as a young boy, I was like 12, 13 years old, and someone directed me to a book of the Bible, Habakkuk. It sounds like a Christian curse word, right? You're like, Habakkuk, you know, and it's a kind of a minor prophet in your Old Testament. And Habakkuk 2:2, the prophet says this, hey, to write the vision down and make it plain on tablets that a herald may run with it. And he says, though it may tarry, it'll surely come to pass. And so I got that, and I was like, well, I'm going to write down God's vision for my life. And I began to write down that I believe God created me. I was going to play professional hockey, and I wanted to play to the age of 33, and I wanted to use it as a platform to make Jesus' name known and worshiped in the earth. And so that was my, and here's what's crazy. Do you know I stumbled onto that same sheet of paper a couple decades later, and I realized every single thing came to pass. And so now I wish I would have said play till I was 40. Why did I say 33, you know? And please don't mishear me. It's not like some magic thing and God's got to do this. But rather, listen, if you aim at nothing with your life, you'll hit it every time. The Apostle Paul, here's a man who wrung out every ounce of destiny and calling in his life. And he says this, I don't run aimlessly. He says, I'm running the race that God has marked out for me. And so that's who we want to be, and that's what we want to do. And so it's interesting. The word for vision is the word chazon, all right? So no, you ready? We've all had that, come on, work with me, all right? So it's chazon. Ready? 1, 2, 3, chazon. Right, man, look at you little Hebrew scholars in here, all right? And so that is the word for vision or revelation. And so Proverbs 29:18, it should appear up on the screen here. It reads like this, where there is no chazon or vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. And so here's what the proverb, Solomon is telling us in the proverb is this, is that if you don't have a vision for your life, you'll live life unrestrained. And so my anybody got any New Year's diets? No, not too many. Okay, good. Well, sorry, I do. And so we're doing this thing. It's called the Whole 30. My wife finally convinced me to do it. And so here's what I couldn't believe during the Christmas holidays. We ate so much garbage that I don't think I was hungry for a month. And so like just all that. And I remember in the midst of our gluttony that my wife and my daughter, they're like, oh, I can't wait till we get to go on the Whole 30. And I'm like, what? And so like the Whole 30 diet is this, no sugar, no bread, no pasta. Can I just say this? No fun, all right? That's basically what it is. And so, but yet there is this joy around submitting under these restraints. Why? Because there is a vision of what I want to look like when this thing is all said and done. And so in the same way, if you lack vision for your life, when things get tough in your life, you'll just be unrestrained. And so I want to encourage you to, in our job as pastors and leaders, is we want to help you figure out what God's vision is for your life. For the record, I'm going to explode in here. Is it inordinately hot now? Yeah. Can someone start turning down the heat a little bit? Kim, thanks. You can do that. I saw some of you were going to pass out in a moment. So here's something I need you to know. So you need a vision for your life. Number two is this, is do you realize, and I need you to look at me in my face in this, okay, is that God is going to make, there's an accounting that we're going to have to give for our life. That while life is a gift from God, it's a gift we steward from him. And so the New Testament is unbelievably clear about this. In the parable of the talents, the parable of the 10 virgins, it's all these things designed to show us that one day God's coming back and he's going to be, what did you do with the life I've given you? And so I want to show you just real quick from the book of Luke, it's the parable of the 10 minas. The parable of the 10 minas, and it's found in Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 12 to 23 as it starts to cool down. Please don't pass out. If you need a water or something, raise your hand and our ushers will get it to you. Here's verse 12. He being Jesus, he said a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. And so he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. For the record, a mina is 3 months' wages. For some of us, that's $300. Some of us, that's $300,000. And if that's you, then may your tribe increase. And welcome to every nation, New Jersey, right? But he says this, put this money, this mina, to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. For the record, to this day, people reject and don't want Jesus to be their king. Verse 15. He was made king, however, and returned home, and then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. And so you understand that God's given you a life, a mina, and he wants to know what you've done with it. And so in verse 16, it says that the first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. This is not my message, but I want you to take note of this. As you're found trustworthy, that God will give you authority. He says, you've been trustworthy with your money, a very small thing. I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. And so that has nothing to do with my message, but I thought it was good. Verse 17, well done, my goodness, or excuse me, verse 18. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. And then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap where you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words. Get this, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping where I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? And so here's what we see, is that God's going to give an accounting for what we've done with the life, and the skills, the talents, all that he's given us to steward in the earth. And so, and did you notice too, that they only gave us 3 of the servants? And so he said that there was 10 servants. And so I just wonder what some of the other responses were when he says, what did you do with my mina? And so this is just conjecture on my part, but I think it's not far out of reach. And so I can imagine that one of the servants came and he says, what did you do with my mina? And he would say this, I cannot remember where I put that mina at. And so how many people have ever had that moment where, like, how many are just horrible with names? Right, you meet the person, and you're like, and as soon as they say it, it's like, bah, it just bounces off you, and you can't remember who they are. And so that's most of us. Aren't you grateful for brother, sister, you know, that kind of thing? And so so there's that. How many have ever walked into a room and you're like, what did I come in here for? Huh? If you haven't, it's coming for you. Okay, and then so many oftentimes, oh yeah, you think that's good, but what about? I can't remember what I was going to say, right? And so we've all had those moments. Do you know that the book of James says this, that there's a type of person who beholds themselves in a mirror, and then they go away and they forget who they are. And so that's a great number of Christians. You know that the pastors, like, around the world are going to get up on Sunday, and they're going to preach message. And some people are going to get inspired and excited about, yes, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to advance his kingdom in the earth. And then Monday's going to roll around. What was that? What was I so fired up about? And then hit repeat every single week. That'll begin to happen. So I believe that person's out there. And we don't want you to be that person. How about this? There's some people that you have no idea the value of a mina. So here's what I love kids is kids, they just have, like, no concept of money. At least, I'll speak, mine don't. I can remember, so I have daughters, and so I remember the first time, fellas, with daddies of daughters, take notes of this, like, it's a big deal the first time your baby goes to the hairdresser, the salon. And so I remember my daughter's like 11 years old, and so I give her daddy's credit card to go in there, and she can do it. And then, man, I didn't realize this, that you can't use your credit card to tip them. So you got to give them cash. So I'm like, dude, I'm always broke. And so we do the envelope system in my house. So I had to get in the food envelope. Here, baby. All I had was a $100 bill. Give my daughter the $100 bill. She goes into the hair salon. Now, for the record, man, just brace yourself for this, because it costs an ungodly amount of money. They're going to come out and you're going to be like, I thought you said you were getting a haircut. And they're going to be like, are you serious? Look at how much length they took off. And they're going to be all beside themselves, like, it's so short and whatever. So my daughter does her thing. She goes there, and then she goes to tip, and she panics, and she gives the girl $100 and leaves. So, like I come back, and I ask my daughter, I'm like, babe, where's Daddy's change at? Well, I just gave her the whole thing, Daddy. I'm like, which is ironic that she's a hairdresser now, right? And so, but here's the funny. See, she had no concept of money and the value of it. And I just wonder how many of us, you lose the value of God's calling on your life. Like, you just think, I'm just a churchgoer. Who am I? Are you kidding me? Turn to your Bible to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 should be up on your screen. I'm going to read verse 13 through 16. It says this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So, do you hear that? Like God was intricately involved in the details of your life as he created you, formed you, and fashioned you. And then he says there's this epic story that he's placing your life in. And so I saw just the train wreck that was Mariah Carey on New Year's Eve. Right? So she's like, the song, the track's going, and she's like, just whatever, I don't know what's going on. And how, wasn't it just awkward? Like, it made you uncomfortable. And so, do you know that there's this that so many of us know, hey, I'm out of step with God's plans and purposes for my life. You know it, others know it. And so what we want to do is be in tune and in step with the story that God's placed you in. And so you're unbelievably valued to the story of God. And then how about this? Some people, you're going to mistake God's mina for your own. And so I had a great time. I'm glad Justin's in here. So Justin, I got to take Justin's son, Lucas, to go skate and play hockey. I think we got a picture of it. Justin was great. He had him come out in a Philadelphia Flyers. That's right, Aaron, a Flyers jersey, not a Devils jersey. And it says Bert on the back. And so it was fun. I had a little flashback because I just had daughters. I'm like, man, I get to take a boy to go play hockey. This is awesome. And so we were going. And here's what I love about kids is there's just no filter. So we're driving. We're having guy talk on the way to the ice rink. And Lucas looks at me. And he's funny. He's got like no teeth in the front. And he's like, you know what? He goes, I'm unbelievably athletic. I'm like, really? And he's like, he's going on, and he's like, you know what? I'm actually pretty talented. So I'm like, well, this is awesome. I want you to call me when you're 18 and you need an agent. And so we were going, and so he's so amped up to get out there on the ice. And so we were supposed to skate for 90 minutes. Well, like I've skated like 3 times in 15 years. I'm like, man, I don't know if I got 90 minutes in me. And so we lace up. Well, after about 20, Lucas is like, yeah, I'm pretty tired. He's like, I think we should get off. He goes, do you know they have unbelievable cheeseburgers here? So he starts working me for a cheeseburger. And so, but here's the funny part is Lucas and Amy, or Justin and Amy are so gracious. They sent him with a 20 to pay for my hockey. And I'm like, Lucas went to, I'm like, bro, I got it. I think I can do the 20. And so we kind of do that. Well, he found out he had the 20. Lucas like, this is awesome. And he made a beeline for the pro shop. And he bought as much rolls of hockey tape as he could possibly do for $20. And so he came out with this roll of stuff. And I'm like, man, is your dad going to be okay? I'm texting Justin. I'm like, I hope this is okay, man. And so he comes back. And then he has this epiphany as we're driving home. He just kind of looks at me in this moment of silence. He goes, you know what? My dad's going to be mad. And so here's my fear is that, you know, that you've been entrusted with this life and you're pointing it all at yourself. all of it when it's been designed to be pointed towards the kingdom of God and other people. And then there's going to come this moment, this time of accounting, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, my dad's going to be mad at me. And so this is why the time is of the essence now, that you begin to see how he created you and you begin to point your life towards the purposes of God. And so we want our life to count. And so here's what we've done. We want you to grow to maximum capacity, that you ring out your life, be the best you can possibly be. And so because of that, we've designed what's called a growth track here at Every Nation New Jersey. And so you're going to be hearing more about this. We're going to kick it off in the month of February. It's going to be 4 simple classes to help you hulk out with your mina to be all God's called you to be. And the first class is going to be this about know God. It's the first step in your Christian faith. And as we start to understand who God is, what he created me to be, how do you handle the Bible, how do you pray, all these different things. Then the other one is grow together. I don't know if you realize this, but the kingdom of God is a team sport. And in that, we both need each other and we grow together to become all that God's called us to be. And then the other one is discover purpose. How many would like to know exactly what God created me to be and what to do? And so we're going to help you unearth kind of the gifts, skills, and talents that God's given you. And then lastly, make a difference. You've been created to make a difference. But so today I want to talk to you about knowing God. All right. Before I talk to you about knowing God, I have to talk to you about Alexa. So there's a new girl a woman in my life. Maybe you're familiar with Alexa, Amazon's Echo, and Alexa. Let me just be real with you. She's fantastic. So Alexa, she's unbelievably wise. So I'll be like, Alexa, what's the weather going to be like? It's going to be cloudy and chance of flurries later on today. I'm like, thank you, Alexa. You're welcome. Alexa, she's unbelievable. Like, I even gave her Bible trivia. Alexa, what's Abram's son's names? Abram's sons from the Bible, the book of Genesis, is Ishmael and Isaac. And I'm like, way to go, Alexa. And so Alexa gets that, and so she's wise. You know what? She's also unbelievably helpful. Like, Susan's cooking last night. Alexa, could you please set the timer for 11 minutes, please? Absolutely. I will ring the alarm in 11 minutes. Thank you, Alexa, right? In fact, we've had 6 dogs in our home for the last 2 weeks. And so one of the dogs passed gas in the house, okay? And so I was like, Alexa, who passed gas? And her response was, it wasn't me. But she is unbelievably helpful, and she's sweet. So I'll go to bed at night, every night, Alexa, good night. She'll like, good night and sweet dreams. And so that's kind of how Alexa goes. She's sweet, she's amazing. And so the reason I had to describe my relationship with Alexa is because that's like many of our relationship with God. That God is, so you get this now, we want to treat God like I treat Alexa. Hey, answer some of my questions, be responsive to me when I speak to you, and then be quiet. Like, leave me alone. Don't you speak into me. I'll speak to you and tell you when to speak. Is that too harsh for New Year's? Sorry. And here's the other one. But some of us as well, our approach to God is like Alexa's is to the world. So Alexa, she's got an unbelievable amount of information. She knows a lot of stuff about me, but she doesn't know me. And in the same way, many of us, we know a lot of stuff about God. We can quote scripture and do all these things, yet we don't know God. And so these are the things that we want to correct. You've been created to know the Almighty God. Do you know that Paul says you've been created by God to know him and to be known by him? And so that's what we want to help you do. And so many times I see us aiming at the wrong thing. Like some of you, your aim has been towards heaven or eternal life, but you're aiming at the wrong thing. Or some of us, your aim is, I just want to be a good guy or a good girl, whatever that means. But listen, if you aim at Christ, you get all of that as a byproduct. And so that's what we want you to do, is aim at the right thing. And so I got a couple quick points, and we'll get going. The first point is this, that we don't pursue eternal life, we pursue Jesus, all right? And so let me read John 17:3. It says this, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so we see that heaven is not a place for those afraid of hell, but heaven, it's actually a place for those who love God, for those that are in relationship with him. And so here's what you got to hear. Salvation is not the finish line. Salvation is the starting line to a relationship with God. And so I see dudes in particular do this all the time. Like a guy, he'll be pursuing a wife. How many know the Bible says to pursue a wife? And so they'll be romancing and doing all this stuff. And then they get to the altar and they're like, I do. They get married. And then dudes are like, glad that's over with. And then just kind of da-da-da-da-da-da, watching SportsCenter and just doing that. And so, man, bro, that I do is the starting point. Now we continue to pursue our spouse. And in the same way, we pursue Christ. The Bible will oftentimes display our relationship with God like the relationship of a man and a woman. And so if you're familiar, like sociologists will say this, when a man and a woman first meet, they're in what's called the enchantment stage. Have you ever been there? You remember that one? Some of you got to reach real far back for that, right? But the enchantment stage, and it's kind of like that significant other, they can do no wrong. Like everything, like a thing that annoys you now, back then was like, oh, it's so cute, you know, and all that kind of thing. And that's what's called it's the enchantment stage. But how many know it can't stay in the enchantment stage? Because what the Bible says, the ultimate between a man and a woman is marriage to become one. And you know what that means? Some stuff's got to go. So here's what I remember. So I could do no wrong with my girl, Susan. And so here's what I learned. I used to call her Sue when we first met, and that was cool until we were like engaged. Then it's my name is Susan, okay? So she had to train that out of me, and so it's Susan. And then how about this? How many? My clothes? There's a lot of clothes that went away when my wife came around. Dude, you got your favorite shirt? It's all ripped up. It's just nasty. Or track pants you put on, and so all those suddenly just disappeared somewhere, you know. And so this is going on, and things are starting to change. And so if we were going to move on from enchantment to marriage or doing life together, the cultivation has to take place. You have to cultivate the relationship, aka it's work. And so listen, like, I know if you're offended by that, no, it shouldn't be work, it should just be, have you ever been in a relationship, right? Like you can't have a relationship with a kid, with a spouse, with a friend, anybody, if it's work. And if you don't, here's what you've done. You've ensured, at best, a distant relationship, and at worst, the death of that relationship. And so we have to be pursued. Do you know that the Bible even says, you know what it says in marriage, the old King James Version? It says a man will leave his father and mother, and it says he will cleave to his wife. You know what the definition of cleave is? It's this, to vigorously pursue. And that's what we're supposed to do towards the Almighty, is we vigorously pursue God. We don't just pursue heaven. Here's the next point is this. We don't pursue behavior, but we pursue Jesus. We don't pursue behavior, but we do Jesus. Matthew 7, let's look at Matthew 7, 21 to 23. It says this. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And so, do you see that? I mean, those people were doing some amazing things, and yet Jesus is like, no, you got it all wrong. See, Jesus isn't after our behavior, he's after our heart. And here's the beauty. He gets your heart, your behavior will follow. That just is always the way it goes. And so, you know, like some 30 years ago, I met this girl, Susan Scott. And we covenanted to entwine our lives together. And the moment I began to pursue her, things in my life began to change. And so as I think about it, like I'm much neater than I used to be. Like from now, if there's like dishes out there, I used to wait till we run out of dishes, you know. And now it's like, man, it bugs me if they're not cleaned and put away. God help me, I've become a bed maker, which is nonsensical to me, but it just, that happened somehow. I dress better. I put good gas in my car. Listen, that's a Susan thing that I don't know how that got on me because I'm cheap. Here's this, I like country music. I don't even know when that happened to me, but somehow it just happened. And listen, I watch HGTV now. And get this, I like it. Get off me, all right? Don't judge me about that, but it just, that happened to me. And here's how that happened. Because I began to do life and pursue this woman, I began to love what she loves and hate what she hates. I began to think her thoughts. And so these is what, that's how transformation begins to take place in the human heart. Eddie, I'm going to out you, man. So Eddie, Bob's brother-in-law, we were at Connect Group the other day, and Eddie was saying he and his wife were going through old emails, and Eddie said he was reading them, and as he's reading them, he's like, who is this guy? This guy is sinful, and who is this guy? And so he couldn't even recognize himself a decade ago because of the transformation that God has made in his life. And so that is what begins to take place. Pursue God, and behavior will follow. And so let me just, real quick, how do we pursue God? You ready? Get your pen out. Here's good notes. Read your Bible and pray. So I know, is anyone like, what? This is so deep, Pastor. Thank you. Yeah. Read your Bible and pray. So the Word of God is not given to us primarily for information, though you will get information and grow in your knowledge of God. It's given for relationship. That the Bible, the primary thing is like as you align your life under the Word of God, you'll get a better life. But that's not why we go to the Word of God. We go to know and pursue Jesus, and better life follows that. And so John 5, verse 39, it says this. It says, Jesus says, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And so, see, the reason why so many of us think that the Christian life is so difficult and so hard is because, again, you're aiming in the wrong direction. And so here's the thing. Two quick points about reading the Bible. How many find that the reading the Bible can be difficult at times? A few of us. So here's what I think this will help us. I think you need to read the Bible for width. Here's what I mean by that. Like, I'd encourage you to just make it within the next 2 years to read through the Bible cover to cover, or do read. They have all these unbelievable reading programs. Here's the reason why, is you need to understand the big picture. And so let me tell you, I want to tell you a horrific memory that I have in my mind. It was Christmas Eve. I was probably 14, 15 years old. My stepfather is a guy by the name of John, and John was in there. He had no kids of his own, and we're in there, and my little brother is probably about 9 years old. John grabs my little brother and begins violently hitting him in the back. And you know what? We just stood around and we did nothing. Now let me just give you the rest of it. My brother was choking on a straw. My stepdad, John, was striking him on the back in order that he coughed up the straw, saved my brother's life. We were standing around like a bunch of morons, didn't know what to do, but he did. Do you see what I mean? Do you realize context matters? And so if you don't understand the big story, that people can pull stuff up and make God look like a murderous, crazed egomaniac, you need to know the full big picture. And so read it for width. And listen, give yourself a decade, but just say, I'm going to get through the book. And then not just for width, but occasionally you need to go for depth and start getting into a book. You know, with my Connect Group guys, we're going to go through the book, take 16 weeks to go through the book of Mark together. And so we're going to start boring down deep in there. And so you want to do that. Here's the last one is prayer. Prayer. Now I need you to participate in this. All right, how many people feel like they pray too much? Okay, good. How many people feel like they need to pray more? All right, hallelujah. So we can agree, we stink, okay? We all know we should do it more, and we don't always. Here's what this was so encouraging to my heart, is there's a guy, Brother Lawrence, he wrote the book Practicing the Presence of God. And his aim was with his life to be aware of the presence of God every waking moment of his life. Here's what he said about prayer. He says this. He says, I thought myself to be a failure at prayer. He says, then one day I realized I would always be a failure at prayer. I've gotten along much better since I've done that. And so I just think we need to set the tone and know, hey, prayer's going to be difficult. It's not always going to be this euphoric moment. But occasionally, man, you'll strike it with God, and that'll keep you coming back for more and more. And so let me give you a couple kind of things that'll help you in your prayer life. Number one is this, you got to get reps. You're honestly not going to learn to pray from a book, but you're going to learn to pray by praying and getting with other people and praying. Here's the great thing. We're going to have a week of prayer and fasting starting tomorrow, January 9th to 13th. What a great time to jump in and join with us and exercise your prayer muscles. Here's another one. Aim at honesty, not eloquence. I mean, I've been in that room and you just feel like, man, you got to break out in Elizabethan English. Oh, thou hast God, art in heaven. And like, no, just be honest and real and speak like you would speak to someone. And so here's another one. Set aside a time and set aside a place. I think it's important that you have a place that you meet with God. I've been reading through my Old Testament, and it says that they would build altars to the Lord, and then they would go back and they would revisit God at these altars that they built to the Lord. And so I think for me, my altar is our sunroom. That's where I go and I meet with God, and I walk, I get my coffee, and me and God, we speak together. And then here's another one. I think you need to pray, not just have moments set aside time to pray, but you need to pray throughout the day. And isn't this true? Like, don't you just say, like, so I'm using my marriage as an example, but like, I don't just be like, hey, baby, I'll talk to you at date night and then leave me alone until then. Don't you, let me know, my wife isn't here this morning, so maybe I have done that this week. So what you need to do is, you want to stay in constant contact with somebody. So we're constantly texting one another with just little text touches throughout the day. And so I'll be like, hey, baby, I love you. And then she'll send me back, heart emoji, you know, that type of thing. That's what we do. And then baby, hey, I'm thinking about you. And then she'll give me a little blow you a kiss emoji like that. And then I'll be like, baby, hey, how's your day going? She'll send me like a poop emoji, right? If you guys have ever seen that. And so, but that's what we do. Why? Because we want to stay in constant contact. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says this, pray without ceasing. That there's this idea of we're constantly just little text touches with our Lord. And so I'm gonna close now because I've gone way too long. Can you tell I didn't have to be in New York this morning? So sorry about that, guys. But Kim, go ahead, why don't you come on up, and I want to close with just one last illustration. I'm a little nervous about using this one, but I'm going to do it anyways, is this. So how many are aware of, you saw the four kids that kidnapped that 18-year-old kid that was mentally challenged and handicapped, and do you remember what they did? And listen, for the record, I think those kids were dumb. And I think that they've probably been brought up in stuff that you and I can't fathom. And so I think we need to give a little bit of grace there. But when you look at that scene and you saw what they were doing to that kid, tied him up, were slashing him, made him drink out of the toilet. And when you see that, something bubbles up inside of you. And I want you to feel that this morning. Like there's a little bit of rage. There's a little bit of, oh, that, how could somebody do that? And there's a little bit of, I wish I could, what can I do? And here's what I need you to, I want you to feel that for this reason, because there's something taking place spiritually everywhere around you that, you know, it says in 2 Timothy, it says that Satan has bound humanity and forcing him to do what he doesn't want to do. And so with that Jesus has come, and he's come and he set us free, and he's beginning to transform our lives, and now our mission is to go and help set these captives free that Satan is bound and is abusing. And so may you feel the weight of that on your life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. I thank you for your church. I thank you for your people. God, I sense that you're marking us this morning. God, that you're marking us as a peculiar people in the earth, Lord. Lord, called by your name. And so, Lord, I pray number one, that we'd be a people that deeply, deeply know you. And Lord, I pray that in this season, God, that we would be transformed on the inside out, and you'd use us as agents of transformation. We thank you, we trust you, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.